This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner just had it.
Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, left, 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 touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
Oh, do we have a show for you today? Welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown. My name is Brian Lowe, coming to you every week, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays right here on Patriots.com radio. Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com is going to join us in about 10 or 15 minutes to talk about some of the prime topics in fantasy football for this week. We've got all kinds of emails already in at webradio@patriots.com, and certainly still want to hear from you. There's a football game tonight. Guys, gals, don't forget, Thursday night football begins tonight. Every single Thursday from here on in, there's an NFL game. Every NFL game has fantasy implications. This is really last chance to get your final questions in regarding tonight's game. Now, tonight it's Chicago against San Fran. An interesting game. Two teams that I guess we could say are kind of underachieving, but all kinds of fantasy implications. Not necessarily a ton of high-tier top two, three guys at their positions, but some very interesting choices. And we already have some emails of people wanting to get their questions in on tonight's game because they need to set their lineups. And fortunately, everybody's thrilled. This is the last week of byes. Only two teams, Houston and the Giants, have bye weeks this week. Exactly. So once we get through this, we're all set. Every single team plays from here on in after week 10. But as always, we start out talking about B-Low's League. And miracle of all miracles, and I really mean it, Doctor's Medicine has won a game. Our fine producer, Jason, had a quest to be the Detroit Lions of B-Low's League and go an ofer. Now, here's the question, and it's a question we're going to pose to Jason right now. Jason won 85-67 over OJ's dynasty.
Who didn't set their roster.
And that's where we begin.
They didn't set their roster.
That's where we begin. In our league, there are 10 starting positions. QB, two wide receivers, two running backs, tight end, couple of flex positions, kicker, defense. Of those 10, OJ's dynasty had exactly five players actually active. Adrian Peterson, Zach Miller, Donnie Avery, Thomas Jones, Ryan Langwell, all on a bye. Doctor's Medicine, Jason actually had an empty spot at running back and yet still won. Unbelievable, Jason.
I knew that I was waiting for a guy to clear waivers. It slipped my mind with a home game, and I look on Monday and I go, how did I win?
Now, OJ's dynasty has five players on bye. Had Kurt Warner's 40 points. Now, if OJ's dynasty started, of those five open spots, two or three of them with random guys, probably would have won. Certainly, if he had someone who was actually playing a football game that weekend in each of those spots, OJ's dynasty probably would have won. You had, you know, Brady, a decent performance. Steve Breston, it gave you 14 points. Vernon Davis. You had a decent week in your own right. I mean, 85 points, not bad, with one open slot. Not sure exactly how many teams you would have beaten. You would have beaten four or five other teams.
You ready for the kicker?
Yeah.
I look at the matchup for this week.
Yeah.
I could get win number two.
No, let's not get crazy now. Come on.
On paper, right now, I'm projected at 94 points. And SV72 is projected at 77.
Projections. I mean, come on. Projections. Now, I had a big win. 98-75, I think it was. I won. Yeah, I won pretty handily. That's right. Now, I had some tough decisions that I made, and they didn't necessarily work in my favor. I'm very very short on depth at running back, which obviously hurts the flex positions. I actually had Mercedes Lewis in as a wide receiver, tight end, flex spot. Just taking a chance at a guy who, you know, has been in the mix a little bit. He gave me nothing. He gave me 0 points. Now, I had the tough call that I had to make, which I've been making, needing to make each and every week, has been my quarterback, Matt Hasselbeck, and Matt Ryan. Now, I went with Hasselbeck this week. Turned out to be the right move, 17 points, and Ryan had 9, though it was a tough one. I mean, Hasselbeck going against Detroit, I was fairly confident about that. Big performance from D'Angelo Williams. Mike Wallace, who was a late pickup for me as a flex position, he scored a touchdown, the last touchdown of the week in football this week. And then LeSean McCoy, Andre Johnson, so had pretty good performances going up against Aaron Rodgers, who had a big week, up against New Orleans defense. That was promising. So while Jason is on his quest now, I guess now that you have a win, you might as well try to win, right?
So here's my question.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going against myself here. My starting quarterback is, number 12 for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, heard of him, yeah.
My starting defense for this week is Indianapolis.
Wow. You can't do it.
No.
You can't do that.
My other defense is on a bye, the New York Football Giants.
Well, I think you might be able to cut the New York Football Giants.
That's what I was thinking. How do you feel about the San Diego Superchargers?
I have the San Diego Superchargers in two of my leagues, I believe. There you go. I think San Diego hosting Philly this week, tough matchup for them. You could do a lot worse. Tough matchup for them. You're looking for someone for this week, and I'll tell you what, I've been scanning defense pickups in all of my leagues just to see what's out there, and there's really not, it's Kansas City and Oakland play each other, so I kind of null of it. You can pretty much pick up Kansas City or Oakland in just about any league you're in, probably. So they're both going up against bad offenses, so you could take the chance on Kansas City's defense going up against Jamarcus Russell. I mean, you can't feel comfortable about it, though. And if there's any week you're going to take either one of those defenses, it's this week. You mentioned the Giants, and would you want to cut to the Giants? You probably do. I mean, their upcoming schedule, they play some pretty good offenses. Atlanta, Denver, Dallas, Philly. You can probably afford to cut the Giants and then see who's available for defenses this week. But a lot of the terrible teams this week are playing really good teams where defense is already taken, St. Louis plays New Orleans. Tampa Bay plays Miami. Detroit plays Minnesota. Cleveland plays Baltimore. All those defenses are probably taken. So you can afford to cut the Giants. You can start the Chargers this week and feel fairly comfortable. They're a mediocre defense, anyways. They have some big play capability, but that's a tough one. Want to start out with some emails right away, and first, this one is an urgent email from Harry in Las Vegas. With an NFL Thursday game tonight, I have to submit my roster for this week before game time. It sounds like he has to submit his entire roster. My best and most consistent running back, D'Angelo Williams, is listed as day-to-day with a knee injury. Other than that, I have Felix Jones and Tashard Choice, both versus Green Bay, and Lawrence Maroney against the Colts. I need to list two starters. What would you do? Start D'Angelo and hope he'll play Sunday? Or start two of the others, and if so, which two? Also, I'm now carrying two backup QBs, Jason Campbell and Vince Young. Which would you keep, and which would give me more trade value? Thanks, Harry in Las Vegas. Harry, start D'Angelo Williams. Definitely start D'Angelo Williams. There's some mild concern on D'Angelo Williams as far as his injury, but he was back at practice on Thursday, limited basis. All signs say he's going to start, and probably Jonathan Stewart as well. But D'Angelo Williams is hot. He's one of the hottest running backs right now. He scored a touchdown against Atlanta earlier this year. Carolina hosting Atlanta this week. I think it's a good matchup for D'Angelo Williams. I don't think there's any concern about the injury right now. I say definitely start D'Angelo Williams. Then as far as your other one, Felix Jones and Tashard Choice against Green Bay. I was wrong on Tashard Choice last week. I've started to think Tashard Choice falling down the depth chart. It's pretty much Barber, then Felix Jones, then Tashard Choice. Who scores a touchdown for Dallas last week? Of course, it's Tashard Choice. I just think that there's too much uncertainty week to week between Jones and Choice on who's really going to play. I think Lawrence Maroney's your guy this week. As long as Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris are both out, and they don't pick up another running back, and all signs point to Morris and Taylor missing another game. Patriots, you know, and every other team had a chance to pick up Larry Johnson this week. There have been other guys out there. The Patriots are not picking anyone up. They're going with who they have, which means it's Lawrence Maroney getting the bulk of the work. And I think you're safe going with D'Angelo Williams and Lawrence Maroney this week. If those are your four guys to choose from, Williams, Tashard Choice, Felix Jones, and Lawrence Maroney, it's D'Angelo Williams and Maroney. I just don't feel confident about these Dallas running backs week to week on who to take. So, Harry, there you go. You got about 4 hours before you can before this game begins, Chicago and San Fran. And if you got to set your whole lineup, there you go. That's my advice for you on the running back situation. And Harry, appreciate you emailing in. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. As always, a bunch more emails to get to, but first we're going to go to the phone line. And we've got a guy who we brought on about a month ago. Great information. Joe Dolan from fantasyguru.com. Joe, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, man, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. Doing great. Why? Because the last week of bye weeks, we got a Thursday night game. It couldn't be more exciting, huh?
Oh, God. And you know what? This is one of those games. It's actually... My coworker Matt Camp and I, we took a look at the Thursday night schedule.
Yep.
This might actually be the best Thursday night game for the rest of the year. So this is one of those ones that can go either way, and it's going to be interesting to see how Alex Smith does against the defense. That's really reeling right now.
Well, that's just it. I mean, Chicago's been a disappointing team. That we saw what they've given up to some teams recently. And let's just start right there. I wanted to ask you about tonight's game, and Alex Smith is a great place to start because, you know, he comes on a couple weeks ago. I think the Indianapolis game, right, was the first game he played. And I kind of thought, you know, this is a good sort of sleeper pick. Maybe, hey, he was a first pick in the draft for some reason, and maybe now that he is, you know, he's been humbled and all that, maybe now he can really get his act together and be a fantasy surprise. What have you seen out of Alex Smith so far, and do you think he's a good guy going forward in fantasy leagues?
Well, you know what, I think it's going to depend on the matchup, and it's going to depend on how the 49ers choose to use him. Alex Smith is a guy, if you watched last weekend, he is a guy who clearly functions better out of the shotgun, mm-hmm. and out of a spread type of formation. Now, the thing that's about that is the 49ers certainly have the personnel to do that. They have Crabtree. They have this Jason Hill who's a young receiver. They have Josh Morgan. They have the veteran in Isaac Bruce. They have Vernon Davis, who is having an absolute lockdown Pro Bowl season right now. And they have Frank Gore, who people forget is a really good receiver for a running back.
Sure.
But the problem is Mike Singletary does not like to play that style of football. He likes to play 85 Bears, run it down your mouth, and pound you into submission football. And with Alex Smith at quarterback, the 49ers really are not built for that because he is going to make mistakes and he's not going to play his best football when he's under center. But as you saw last week, he clearly can make throws when he needs to. He just has to work on getting his reads right and getting the ball out quicker because he doesn't have the kind of arm strength that you need he doesn't have the physical ability to make an incorrect read mm-hmm. and get the ball out a split second late because he's going to pay for it because he doesn't have the zip on his ball like, say, a Brett Favre has.
Right, right. Interesting stuff. And then you've got Michael Crabtree entering the mix. And granted, from an actual wins and losses standpoint, it hasn't worked out in the Niners' favor. But this is a guy who did, sixth, seventh, eighth pick, or whatever it was, ninth pick in the draft, and then you always know with rookie receivers, kind of hit or miss. He comes in the middle of the season. Is he pretty much their main target now?
Yeah, he has to be. Oh, Vernon Davis is their number
one. Oh, Vernon Davis.
Still, because
right.
Vernon's having an incredible
tight end,
season.
Sure.
But Crabtree, the thing about him is, one, he doesn't look like a rookie right now. Two, it is absolutely stunning that this guy missed almost, I mean, if you count training camp and you count the preseason, he missed almost a season's worth of football, and he's out there, and he legitimately looks like a number one wide receiver in the National Football League. He's deceptively fast, mm-hmm. but he's a very smooth route runner, but what he does is, it's something we'd like to call he attacks the football. He will help his quarterback, he'll come back to the football, he's a physical receiver, he plays to his size, and there's just not enough good things you could say about Crabtree at this point. And essentially, we're floored because we thought the wide receiver position's a difficult position to learn. This is a team that's in transition at the quarterback position, not particularly sure which direction they're going to go offensively, but Crabtree is going to make that decision a lot easier for him because he is a number one target in this league.
Absolutely, and like you said, Vernon Davis really having one of the better seasons for a tight end in football right now. Sticking with tonight's game, we've got a lot of people emailing in who have to set their lineups for tonight, and the Chicago wide receiver slash tight end situation is kind of murky. I mean, you had Greg Olsen really coming out with quite a week last week. Can he keep it up? Hester, Bennett, Johnny Knox, he's kind of fallen out of favor. Where would you rank, if you take Olsen and all their wide receivers, as far as certainly talking about flex positions, but also the wide receiver position, where are these guys right now, targets for Jay Cutler in Chicago?
Well, you want me to just rank the targets about how I'd use them? Well, one's Hester, because he's doing it every week at this point. Let's talk about him a little bit. People thought, like, Devin Hester's still a raw receiver coming into this year. True. But take a look at what he's done recently. In his last four games from week 6 through 9, he's caught at least 6 balls in every game.
Mm-hmm.
He's had at least 81 receiving yards in every one of those games, and he has a touchdown over that time span. He's seen 8 targets in every one of those games. He's clearly their number one option right now. And if you exclude that week 4 game against Detroit where he left early after making just one catch with the neck injury,
yep,
he had a 5-catch, 76-yard touchdown game against Seattle the week before that.
Right.
So it's very clear that he and Jay Cutler are on the same page right now. And with Nate Clements being hurt and even benched before that, I think Hester's a pretty safe play at this point, even though you don't feel as good about him as you would a Larry Fitzgerald or a Randy Moss or a Reggie Wayne at this point.
But
what's that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And then right next, I'd rank Greg Olsen because he finally showed us something that we thought he was going to be doing all year, and that's stretching the field. Yes, he had been getting cheap touchdowns on a week-to-week basis. Yes, he had been seeing the targets inside the red zone. But that's not the entire game when you're looking for an elite fantasy tight end, which, frankly, we thought Greg Olsen had the potential to be this year. It's the field-stretching ability and playing almost like a wide receiver that makes the elite fantasy tight ends like an Antonio Gates, like a Kellen Winslow, guys like that. We thought Olsen had that ability, but this past week he finally was able to get those long touchdowns and those long grabs we thought we'd be seeing from him all year. He and Cutler have just been completely unable to get on the same page. He's caught just 27 out of his 51 targets, but last week was a really good sign moving forward that he's at least going to be able to put up some of the numbers we thought he was going to be able to. He has 6 touchdowns through 8 games, so this is a guy who, if you're looking for a tight end play, a guy they're going to look for in the red zone, he's your man right now.
And the thinking was that what would probably come quick for the Bears offense incorporating Jay Cutler in would be Greg Olsen and maybe throwing a Matt Forte, who had a lot of catches early, you know, in his rookie year, and that would come quick. But maybe now we're going to start getting to see that. We're chatting with Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Switching gears from tonight's game, and great to have a Thursday night game, especially our show comes on Thursday afternoon, so couldn't be any more perfect, but full slate of games, of course, on Sunday. The Kansas City receiving situation sort of took a complete 180 on Sunday, it seemed, with Chris Chambers entering the mix and immediately catching 2 touchdowns from Matt Cassel. And then Lance Long. Who is Lance Long? Tell us what you know about Lance Long. Is he a guy that people should be looking at? And can Chris Chambers keep up what he started in Kansas City in game one?
Okay, yeah. I'll tell you what. I think it's the Chiefs finally realizing what Matt Cassel is. And I think you guys at Patriots.com would know a heck of a lot better than I would what Matt Cassel is. He is a guy who needs the shotgun formation. He's a guy who needs his receivers spread out for him to be a successful NFL passer. And he certainly has the ability to do that. Now, obviously, the offensive line situation in Kansas City is murky at best. But I think the Chiefs are trying to get him the weapons he needs. And this Lance Long guy, he's a guy you better watch out for because I don't think he's going to be a one-week wonder. Now, I don't think we're ready to project Lance Long to be a 100-catch guy every season like say, a Wes Welker would be. But I think the Chiefs have been looking for this type of receiver, and I think they finally found him. They signed Bobby Engram in the offseason, but it's apparent that Bobby Ingram's magic has finally run out after his long career and extensive list of injuries.
And they released him, I believe, right?
Yeah.
They
picked up Bobby Wade.
Right.
When Minnesota released him, he did it for a couple weeks, but Bobby Wade is nothing special. He's going to catch you a few balls. He's clearly an NFL receiver, but he's a third, fourth option at best. But they got this long, and he's intriguing because he's laterally elusive, not as elusive as Wes Welker, but he's also strong, and he's really powerful in his small frame. And I think Matt Castle sees in Lance Long a guy that he can rely on to get the football to. In the fantasy world, we like to say the Patriots' offense is predicated not around Randy Moss, but around Wes Welker, and I think they need the Welker type for Matt Castle to be successful in Kansas City. This Lance Long, while we're not, like I said, he's not going to be a 10-catch guy every week at this point, but I think they're going to try to turn him into that type of receiver for Matt Castle. So he's a guy, especially if you're in a dynasty league, he's a guy you really want to pick up because if you're in a PPR league, points per reception, this is a guy that can pay huge dividends for the rest of the year and especially going forward.
Very interesting. He had more targets, I believe, than anyone else on that Kansas City.
Yeah, he had
City.
11 targets this past week and caught 8 of them.
Right, more than Bo. Now, Kansas City-Oakland is not one of the games that, you know, if you're a casual football fan not involved in fantasy, that you're going to be itching to watch on Sunday. But a lot of other storylines, and I just want to ask you real quick about the Oakland running game situation. Darren McFadden supposedly going to be back this week. Kansas City, one of the worst running games, run defenses in the league right now between McFadden and Fargus, Bush. What's going on with the Oakland running game situation? If people have rode McFadden on the injured list and kept him on the roster till now, will that pay dividends going forward?
You know what?
And I'm one of those people, by the way.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, here at FantasyGuru.com, we are not exactly exuberant in our praise of Darren McFadden.
Nor should you be at this point.
Yeah, I tend to think he hits the ground too often, and like Reggie Bush, he needs a lot of space to work with in order for him to make plays. But, I mean, it's the Oakland Raiders, and despite the fact that Justin Fargus has looked pretty darn good over his last couple games, they're going to use Darren McFadden. And, I mean, if you're looking for a positive to take out of this with McFadden, he did score against the Chiefs in Week 2. And last year, Week 2 also, when we all thought he was going to be a superstar when he ran for 164 yards against them, that was against the Chiefs. So, I mean, it's hard for me to be positive about Darren McFadden, and I certainly wouldn't play him this week if you had other options. But the Chiefs are not scaring anyone defensively. So I guess the Raiders are going to go to Darren McFadden because Jamarcus Russell is just terrible right now. But this is an ugly game from fantasy perspective in just every sense of the word.
Right. I guess if your running back is loaded with Giants and Texans, and
yeah,
then you have Darren McFadden, you can maybe use him this week. That might be the only way.
I would think so. But
nice.
I mean, he's still a guy I'm advocating to trade. Hopefully, maybe he has a big game or a decent game because his name might get you some value. I'm just not counting on Darren McFadden to do very much for my fantasy team at this point.
Okay, again, we're talking to Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com, and now you guys clearly heavy on statistical analysis. You put so much into figuring out from a statistical standpoint what's going on each week. I just want to know from you, what one or two games, I guess, on the schedule this week have you been focusing the most on that you can share with us some information, some insight, some topics, and some players that maybe people aren't really thinking about that could be surprise performers this week?
Well, you know what? Obviously, we're all focusing on the Patriots-Colts game because that's about as much as an event as you get in the NFL. On the level of like a Yankees-Red Sox type deal, you know what I
right.
mean?
Right, and no surprise that that game always falls sort of during November sweeps month, I believe.
Yeah, how about that? You know, and I think that's just a game we're looking forward to kind of as football fans.
Sure.
This
how
week,
can,
you
how
know
can
what
you
I'm
not?
Saying? But, you know, there's a couple really interesting games, and one I'm looking at is Seattle-Arizona,
mm-hmm.
because these two teams are just playing different football than they played when they met just a month ago. It was a similar – there's a lot of questions here. Matt Castle played really well this past week. It was against the Lions, but he looked mentally sharp, made really good mental decisions, and his offensive line is getting healthier, and his offensive line gave him absolutely no chance the last time these two teams met in Week 6.
Mm-hmm.
That was just an ugly performance for the Seahawks. This is a game where you might think Nate Burleson really has a chance to maybe continue what is becoming a very quiet, solid fantasy year. He had 7 catches for 75 yards last week. He's making plays down the field, and the Cardinals have a severe liability in the secondary. Their safeties are slow. Their corners look like they have no clue what's going on out there, which is really frustrating from a guy like Rogers Cromartie, because he clearly has the ability to be a number one corner in this league. He just does not break down information well at all right now. He's not seeing the field right. And I think if Matt Castle has time and he's still mentally sharp this week, he's going to find Burleson down the field, connect on a couple plays. So that's a game we're pinpointing as interesting because it might go completely different than the last time these two teams played when Arizona won by 4 touchdowns.
Sure. And it's interesting to see how Hasselbeck has had some big games. He's had some big games when healthy this year, but then it's hard to tell week to week, I guess. How about Philadelphia-San Diego?
That's
to me,
that one
really jumps out to me. It looks like Brian Westbrook might be back, which might hurt LeSean McCoy's value. He's had a couple of good weeks. We saw what Vincent Jackson did last week. Give us a sense on some of the players, some of the key performers in that game.
Well, you know what? Here's the interesting thing about this game. The Eagles are really, really bad statistically against the tight end. Because they choose to limit the production the opposing wide receivers do because they'd rather a tight end get to them as opposed to a receiver who could make a bigger play. Now, we saw what Miles Austin did last week when Sheldon Brown, the Eagles' number two corner, made a mistake we typically don't see him make when he bit on a double move and left Austin completely wide open. But what's interesting is the Eagles this week lost their number 3 and number 4 cornerbacks.
That's right.
They lost Hoselio Hansen to a suspension over diuretics, which is probably going to cause a huge stir because Hansen is complaining that the NFL doesn't treat all players the same. That's a story for a different day. But Ellis Hobbs went down with a season-ending injury, and that's going to leave the Eagles with an injured Dmitri Patterson as their number 3 cornerback, and a guy by the name of Ramsey Robinson, who they just signed to play the number 4 spot. But it's interesting because the Chargers don't go 3 wide a whole lot. They'll typically attack down the field with Vincent Jackson, and they'll attack down the field with Malcolm Floyd, who's a really talented young receiver, and a guy people should be looking out for the next couple years. He's going to be a restricted free agent this offseason.
Interesting.
But I'm really interested to see what the Chargers do with Antonio Gates, because the Eagles struggle against the tight end in the first place, and I think the Chargers are going to build their attack around Gates because right now they have no running game whatsoever. LaDainian Tomlinson has nothing left. He has a hip injury now, apparently, and for some reason they don't seem to trust Darren Sproles. So I think the Chargers and the Eagles are both going to come out throwing the ball all over the field because the Eagles are injured in the secondary and the Chargers are terrible in the secondary. This has the potential to be either really high scoring or really ugly, depending on how the quarterbacks play.
Fantastic info, Joe. And before we let you go, I'm just wondering, on a typical Sunday, how do you spend your Sundays? And when you're trying to monitor so many games, are you a guy who sits down at your house and flips around? Or how do you follow all these games on a given Sunday?
Well, I tell you what, typically I like to focus my time on just one game and then check via NFL.com what's going on in the others. But I tell you what, man, this NFL Red Zone channel is a fantasy player's dream or nightmare, depending on how your teams are.
Right.
But, I mean, they do such an incredible job switching from game to game. I don't miss anything when I'm watching this channel.
That's amazing.
It makes me feel like I'm ready to attack the work week with vigor when I'm watching this and I see every scoring play, every big play, every touchdown drive, every interception. It just really helps to when we're doing our analysis for the week to say, oh, yeah, I saw that play. He had a big catch down the sideline, or, oh, he got stuffed on 4th-and-1. It's fantastic. They do a great job. If you are a fantasy player and you do not have NFL Red Zone, you have got to get on this channel. It is fantastic.
It's a good plug for the Red Zone channel right there.
Yeah,
now,
you know what? And they're not paying me a damn cent, but they're helping pay my paycheck because they really keep me involved in the games and make sure I didn't miss anything on a given week because it's a lot to take in.
I've only heard good things about it. I'm at every Patriots game home and away, so I haven't had a chance to really enjoy it myself, but you only hear good things about it. It's a fantasy player's dream. You're right. It's
it
a
really
fantasy
is.
Player's
nightmare
dream.
Nightmare in my
nightmare.
Case this year.
Yeah.
I'm really having myself a rough year, but hey, the people I'm helping are having great years. So
and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Joe Dolan, FantasyGuru.com. Thanks once again for joining us. We encourage everyone to go check out FantasyGuru.com, and we're definitely going to check in with you again before this quickly moving season is out.
Yeah, how about it? You know what, Brian? I'm really excited for the next spot, and just keep it going, and I'm really looking forward to the Patriots-Colts game.
Absolutely. We all are, and it's Sunday night in primetime. Big fantasy implications, too. Thanks a lot, Joe.
All right, take it easy.
All right, take care. Joe Dolan, FantasyGuru.com. We've had him on a couple times before, and he really has great stuff. It's pretty clear that those guys over there do some pretty good analysis leading into every Sunday game. We've got a whole bunch of emails. There's still room for you to jump in, webradio@patriots.com or 508-543-7482. We're going to take a quick break right now and get right back to your emails after this.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted!
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio. Brian Lowe taking your emails on the Fantasy Week Ahead, week number 10, which begins in just a couple of hours. And we got an email from Harry earlier, and I actually forgot to finish up his final question, which was, I'm carrying two backup QBs, Jason Campbell and Vince Young. Which would you keep, and which would give me more trade value? Honestly, Harry, I don't think either one's going to give you more trade value, but I'd keep Vince Young over Jason Campbell. Neither one of them really excite me fantasy-wise, but Vince Young, hey, he's been doing all right these last couple weeks. Not a ton of passing yardage, not a ton of passing touchdowns. He can run a little bit, though. I just think Jason Campbell in that offense is just in a nosedive, free fall, so I wouldn't like either one. But if you got to get rid of one, it would be Campbell. If you try to trade either one, hey, if you can get something for Vince Young, something that can help you at running back or something like that, go for it. Cormac from Ireland. Hi, Brian. Well, it's that time again. More queries from your favorite Irishman. It's true, Cormac. You are my favorite Irishman. In a 10-team league, my team is Rodgers at quarterback, Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, Pierre Thomas, Felix Jones, no Sean Moreno, Donald Brown, Jamal Charles at running back. Wide receivers are Calvin Johnson, Vincent Jackson, DeShaun Jackson, and Steve Breston, tight end Vernon Davis. We play two running backs and three wide receivers. You can see I'm imbalanced in terms of my bench. I usually interchange between AP, Rice, or Pierre Thomas in the two spots and Johnson and the two Jacksons in the wide receiver spots. I worry, however, about DeShaun Jackson going forward. I feel I can't trust him in the playoffs and want to get a better player. I tried to get Welker for him in a straight swap, but got rejected. Not a big surprise there. I'm thinking of trading Pierre Thomas to get a reliable third wide receiver. I presume he's the one to trade over Ray Rice. I know I won't get anyone worthwhile for the other running backs and obviously not trading AP, so who should I aim to get for Pierre Thomas? Also, should I throw in DeShaun Jackson to try and get an even better wide receiver? I'd very much appreciate if you had any wide receiver names you could recommend I aim for going forward. Well, here's the thing. No surprise that you couldn't get Wes Welker for DeShaun Jackson. It's going to take quite a bit to get Wes Welker, especially with the Patriots and such limited number of wide receivers and running backs and all that. A guy like Welker, you know, his value is high anyways, but they really only have two wide receivers worth having on your team, and Brady's going to throw the ball, so he's definitely a good guy. Here's what I would think about. I think Roddy White is a guy who is upper echelon, but he's having the kind of up-and-down year that maybe a Roddy White owner could be a little frustrated by him and might want to trade him. That's one possibility. Here's another one. Look at the Cincinnati wide receivers. That offense is doing well. Carson Palmer doing well. Chad Ochocinco, certainly. And Chris Henry is out for the year, which means to me, Lavernius Coles, Andre Caldwell, these guys move up. I think Lavernius Coles is an interesting guy right now. He's had a good number of targets, had a couple of pretty good games. Not a huge year so far, but he's a guy on the rise, I think, because of the Chris Henry injury. And, you know, maybe it's taken him a little longer to get back into that Cincinnati offense since he joined that team. But I think Lavernius Coles is an interesting guy. Chad Ochocinco and Roddy White. So if you're trying to package a Pierre Thomas and a DeShaun Jackson, I think those are guys in that category that you might expect to get. So, Cormac, thank you very much. As Cormac says, I'm playing Cormac's girlfriend in fantasy football this week, the Generators. He says good luck to both of you. But listen, if you know what's right, I think you probably should root for your girlfriend over me, Cormac. But I appreciate you emailing in. Nico from the Philippines.
I agree.
How can you not? I mean, Cormac, I assume, sees his girlfriend a lot more often than he sees me. I think you got to root for your girlfriend.
His girlfriend beat me.
Who hasn't beaten you, other than whoever you played this past week? Nico in the Philippines. Hi, B-Lo. Thanks for your help a couple weeks ago. I won that week, but struggled the next few weeks, and I'm now 4-5 with a big matchup this week because I'm currently a game behind for the wild card slot. The position I'm having trouble in is regarding my wide receivers. I need three players of these four. Which player do I need to drop? Thanks for your help, Nico. Here are the four. Johnny Knox at San Fran this week, actually tonight. Eddie Royal for Denver at Washington. Jeremy Maclin at San Diego. Lavernius Coles at Pittsburgh. Now, Nico says, which player do I need to drop? A much different question than who should I sit. Now, if you truly need to drop someone, if your roster is that heavy or you need someone somewhere else, if you need to drop someone of those four, it's probably going to be Johnny Knox. I think he's had one touchdown his last four games, I believe it is. He sort of started out with a bang with Hester and Bennett and these guys with Chicago and Greg Olsen more involved. I think Johnny Knox is sliding down a little bit. If you got to cut one, I'd say it's Johnny Knox. Now, if you need to start three this week, it would definitely be Lavernius Coles for sure. I think Eddie Royal has been a disappointment this year, but I kind of like Eddie Royal to still be in the mix. It would probably be Coles, Maclin, and Royal and not Johnny Knox. I think Jeremy Maclin, he's getting a good amount of targets, but that Philadelphia wide receiver position, it's kind of inconsistent. You just don't know who you're going to get each week, but a lot of upside with Maclin, and he's definitely getting the ball thrown his way. So, like I said, I really like Coles this week and going forward. I like Eddie Royal, who's been a disappointment, to bounce back, and I think Jeremy Macklin's too good to pass up. So Johnny Knox would be the one there, Nico, that sort of falls by the wayside a little bit. Next up is Jeremy, owner of the Minnesota Fighting Pike. We hear from Jeremy just about every week. Hello, I appreciate your help last week. I lost a close one, and I'm now 6-3 in third place of my 12-team family league. Don't have room for error since there are four teams at 5-4, and I'm ranked 9th out of 12 in total fantasy points. Excuse me. So here are Jeremy's questions. Number one, a quarterback. Excuse me. Do I start an injured Matt Hasselbeck at Arizona? He's played poorly his last two games against the Cardinals. He hasn't played well against them since 07 when the Cardinals were a much different team. The waiver wire includes David Garrard, Matt Stafford, Josh Freeman, Vince Young, Chad Henne. Well, Jeremy, I think you do start Matt Hasselbeck in this case. We heard from Joe Dolan, who's high on Matt Hasselbeck. He's kind of been inconsistent, but he likes him this week against Arizona. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be seeking out guys on the waiver wire because Hasselbeck, you know, he's been injury prone. He hasn't had some great weeks. Talking about the guys that you mentioned here, David Garrard playing the Jets this week, he really doesn't have good numbers recently. One touchdown in his last four games. Matthew Stafford against Minnesota wouldn't touch him this week. He's been getting some touchdown passes, but a lot of interceptions as well. Josh Freeman at Miami, a rookie starting his first road game? No, wouldn't touch him. Vince Young against a tough Buffalo defense. Thank you, Jason. That is me. In fact, that might be a recording of me from recent weeks. I'm still battling a cold a little bit. Bear with me. Thanks for the sound effects.
No worries.
Young versus tough Buffalo defense. Would be interesting guy to take a chance on right there, Vince Young. And then Chad Henne against Tampa Bay. This might be the only week that, I mean, I've kind of liked Henne. I was high on Henne early on. I kind of like him, I think, more long-term as a game manager type of a quarterback, not so much in fantasy. So to answer the question, yeah, I'd go Matt Hasselbeck. And if I was going for someone on the waiver wire, probably be Vince Young 1, David Garrard 2, among those. Okay, running back question. Pick one, Maroney at Indianapolis, Kevin Smith at Minnesota, or Liddell Betts versus Denver. In addition, Darren McFadden and Justin Fargus versus Kansas City are on the waiver wire. I would go Maroney in this case. Now, it's interesting, Jamie Eisenberg from CBSSports.com, great fantasy writer, he wrote about Liddell Betts. Now, Clint Portis is definitely out for this game. Saw that a little while ago, a little before the show began. Portis has been ruled out of the game. So, you know, Liddell Betts is against, we're talking about, Liddell Betts, Washington plays Denver this week, excuse me. And what Jamie says is don't drop someone of significance for Betts. It's not like Portis is out for the season. The only thing you can hope for is Betts plays like 2006 again, but that's a stretch. The one thing in his favor this week is the Broncos struggled in run defense against the Steelers Monday night and are making the long road trip on a short week. So Liddell Betts is an interesting guy for this week, but my sense is there isn't a lot of support for him as a fantasy starter. Maroney, to me, is the guy this week. Don't like Kevin Smith against Minnesota. Not really high on McFadden or Fargus against Kansas City, even though, as Joe Dolan said, the one week maybe McFadden could do some damage now he's back from his injury would be Kansas City. Next one from Jeremy, wide receiver, pick one. Johnny Knox at San Fran or any of the following waiver wire players, Earl Bennett at San Fran, Justin Gage against Buffalo, Jason Hill, Chicago, or Lance Long at Oakland. I would rule out Justin Gage. He's unlikely to play after suffering some fractures in his back. So Justin Gage, no way. Johnny Knox, Earl Bennett against San Fran. You can make the case for either one of them. I'd say Bennett over Knox. So you might want to go to the waiver wire. But really, among all those, Lance Long might be the guy. The most targets for Kansas City's offense last week going up against Oakland. You might want to, you think Matt Castle might ride the hot hand. So I'd probably go Lance Long among all of those. And then finally, defense, Baltimore, Cleveland, or Minnesota versus Detroit. I think there's no question about it. Baltimore is the defense to take there. Now, Minnesota's defense should have a good week against Matthew Stafford. I just fear Matthew Stafford slightly more than whatever Cleveland throws out there on offense. Cleveland is abysmal on offense. Detroit at least has some playmakers in Smith and Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. So while I think Baltimore and Minnesota should both do well this weekend defense-wise, give me Baltimore. No question about that. Next up, Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. Brian, thanks for the advice. This one is sarcasm. Thanks for the advice picking up the Seattle Sea Chickens. That move helped me put the arrogant bastards into first place. My roster for this week in a PPR league so far: Flacco, a quarterback; Fitzgerald and Mike Wallace at wide receiver; Chris Johnson and Rashard Mendenhall at running back; Vernon Davis, tight end. Now the question on the flex, the wide receiver tight end flex: Jason Witten or Malcolm Floyd? It's Dallas against Green Bay, San Diego at Philly. I was disappointed in Malcolm Floyd last week. He was one of my primo sleepers last week, and he didn't do much. I'm going Witten in this case. I got to like Witten. Actually, you know what? I take that back. Now that I heard what Joe Dolan said about the Philadelphia cornerbacks, give me Malcolm Floyd. Go Malcolm Floyd on that flex position. Kicker Ryan Longwell, defense the Jets against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Benching Tony Romo, Indy's defense, Steven Gostkowski, Joseph Addai, Jamal Charles. Now here's his question: my other league that I need to win badly to make fifth or sixth place for the playoffs, should I start Jay Cutler over Joe Flacco? And for wide receiver tight end flex, Greg Olsen over Malcolm Floyd. Also of Brent Celek, I stupidly benched Cutler and Olsen, who finally woke up. That worked out great for me, losing 50 points with a loss last week. Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. So Cutler over Flacco. I go Flacco. Flacco against Cleveland, absolutely. He had a ton of yardage against Cleveland earlier in the year. And Cutler, he's thrown a lot of interceptions on the road, short week tonight. Give me Flacco, definitely in that one. Then as far as Olsen, Floyd, Celek, you know, hard to not like Malcolm Floyd at this point. Although, you know, even though I don't like starting Cutler tonight, I think Olsen, you know, if Cutler does have a decent game, it should go to Olsen again, riding that hot hand. So I'd probably slightly go Olsen over Floyd in that case. Celek, too. You got some tough decisions right there, Todd. That's a tough one. I'd go Olsen slightly over Malcolm Floyd. Web radio at Patriots.com. Still a bunch of emails as we hit the home stretch here on this Week 10 edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. And Paul in London, one of our favorites here. Hey, Brian, how you doing today? Went 4-1 in my leagues last week. Bit disappointed, though, as I lost an important league and won in a league where I'm now 1-8. So a bit of a pointless win. Jason Dvorkin could talk about pointless wins, right? Going 1-8, yeah, pointless wins. Anyway, in one of my leagues, Andre Johnson is on a bye. I have Josh Cribbs. Do I start him or go for one of these options? Mohsin Mohamed, Isaac Bruce, Kenny Britt, Sam Aiken, Mike Thomas, Devon Bess, Antoine Randall-El, or shall I stick with Cribbs and hope for 3 or 4 points? No. No. Don't stick with Cribbs. Don't stick with anyone on Cleveland's offense, Paul. As far as all these options, I think Devon Bess is very intriguing this week going against Tampa Bay. Don't like Isaac Bruce. He's questionable. Mohsin Mohamed missed a couple of games. Don't really like him. Kenny Britt's an interesting guy if you think the Tennessee offense is getting a little steam with Vince Young. Sam Aiken. Now, I wouldn't advise starting Sam Aiken, but it's pretty clear he's their number three wide receiver, and they don't really have much beyond him, especially if Brandon Tate is out. It's Moss, it's Welker, and then it's Sam Aiken. Mike Thomas, Antoine Randall-El don't really excite me. I think Devon Bess might have the most upside this week among all those, and Sam Aiken, Kenny Britt are next on the list. But among all those, Paul, give me Devon Bess against Tampa Bay. A couple other start and sit questions. He needs to pick three out of these: Maroney, Jamal Charles, Felix Jones, Darren Sproles, Kevin Falk. That's the order he has it since Sproles cost him last week. Maroney for sure. I liked Jamal Charles going to last week. He had an okay game, but against Oakland this week, I think that would be pretty good. I think I like him in that order too: Lawrence, Maroney, Jamal Charles, Felix Jones. Dustin Keller or Fred Davis. Very interesting one right there. And when I look at Greg Rosenthal's rankings, Greg Rosenthal from rotoworld.com, who we check out his rankings often, he's got Dustin Keller 12th. He's got Fred Davis 16th among tight ends. I'd probably feel similar. I think they're in a similar ranking there, kind of in the middle. But I think Dustin Keller is probably your better bet. Santana Moss, Dustin Keller, T.O., or Eddie Royal, pick one for a flex spot. Don't like T.O. I think he's got another injury he's dealing with. Don't really like Santana Moss because of the Jason Campbell factor. I think I like Keller among all those. To be honest with you, I think give me Keller among those. Felix Jones or Julius Jones? Got to give the edge to Julius Jones because he's their number one guy. And Felix Jones, I just think with Barber Jones' choice, hard to tell week to week which direction they're going to go. So I like Julius Jones. Donovan McNabb or Brett Favre? Very interesting. Favre against Detroit, but you kind of have the sense that that might be more heavy on the run game, and if they're up big, Favre could sit. I like Donovan McNabb better for fantasy purposes this week. Now, pick one out of these. Malcolm Floyd, Marshawn Lynch, Kevin Smith, or Earl Bennett? Tough call right there. Probably going Malcolm Floyd. I don't like Marshawn Lynch this week against Tennessee. Don't like Kevin Smith against Minnesota at all. Earl Bennett tonight, not so much. I like Malcolm Floyd again. Like Malcolm Floyd last week, heard Joe Dolan talking about how decimated the Philadelphia secondary is, so I like Floyd. Pick one of the following: Jericho Cotchery, Eddie Royal, Santana Moss. Not too excited there about those. I'll probably lean toward Cotchery among those. And this is what Paul says: to prove kickers are people too, Josh Scobie, Dan Carpenter, or Shane Graham, give me Carpenter against Tampa Bay from Miami. Loving the show and fantasy football as a whole. Shame the regular season is drawing to a close, however. Well, we still got 4 or 5 fun weeks to go. Paul mentions also, this is also for you, Jason, he's buying lunch next week. It's his birthday. Hooking up the PFW guys. I'm not always included in that, nor should I be. I'm just saying. But Paul is saying that he wants me and...
Happy birthdays.
He wants me and John Rook to be included in the in whatever he buys last week. I will make sure. Don't worry, Jason. This will not slip my mind. Just want to plug, throw that out there right now.
We'll have to take a look and see when he's buying lunch, and you may need to come down here and fight off.
I'll fight whoever I need to fight.
Fight the fiends.
He says he's going to do it Wednesday. He says Thursday's fine because of the fantasy lowdown, giving me the respect. I like hearing that. So let's just keep that in mind. Let's just keep that in mind when lunchtime comes next week. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Still some emails to get to. I mentioned Greg Rosenthal's rankings, and just real quick, his quarterback rankings, top five, because it pertains, obviously, to New England, Indianapolis. He has Drew Brees number one against St. Louis, obviously. Any quarterback against St. Louis is big when it's Drew Brees, who has the best stats of anyone, no question. Then he's got Manning two. He's got Tom Brady 3, Aaron Rodgers 4 against Dallas, Brett Favre 5 against Detroit. So Manning, Brady 2-3. Hey, listen, I think you could go pretty much in either direction with those two. I might go Brady 2 just because of the number of cornerback problems that Indy has had. So, but very close, no question about that one. Joshua from California. Hey, Brian, thanks for helping me get a win last week. My record is now 5-4. I've got three questions for you. First, is Chris Chambers a worthy pickup against Oakland? Second, which defense do you like better for this week, Cardinals, Falcons, or Bengals? Lastly, which defense will do better this week, Patriots or Colts? Josh from California. Chris Chambers against Oakland, you know, I do like him. I think I did see, and I'm sorry I don't have the specific info, I think I did see that he is battling an injury. He comes in with a bang, 2 touchdowns in his first week, having been signed by Kansas City. So that's a big pickup right there. I just think something like that, it may be one of those where, that might end up being his best game, and he's got a bit of an injury. I think you could probably do better than Chris Chambers against Oakland, but, hey, it's an appealing matchup, any Kansas City offensive player against Oakland. Which defense do I like better this week, Cardinals, Falcons, or Bengals? Well, the Bengals against Pittsburgh, I probably like the best just because they're playing the best, and I think they're you got to give them credit where credit is due. But Pittsburgh is on Pittsburgh's running game has been pretty good of late, so that's a tough one. Falcons against Carolina scares me because of how good D'Angelo Williams has been doing, and Atlanta on the road, just don't really like it. And then the Cardinals against Seattle, I hesitate because I know what Matt Hasselbeck's capable of. So I'd probably lean toward the Bengals there. They're playing the best of any of these defenses, and just because, you know, they're playing Pittsburgh, it's a tough matchup, but I do like them. And which defense will do better, Patriots or Colts? I see this being a shootout this year. Last year was 18-15. This year I think it's going to be a shootout. I think the Patriots defense, it's a tough one. I just think the Colts defense going against Moss and Welker, they might get some sacks. I just don't think these cornerbacks, Gerard Powers and Jacob Lacey, are going to do the job. I give the edge to the Patriots defense having a better week, but boy, I wouldn't feel comfortable taking either one of them, Josh, but appreciate you emailing in with those questions. Next up, we've got here at webradio@patriots.com. This is Mike. A guy in my league offered me Calvin Johnson for Sidney Rice. I think if you can get a number one wide receiver for a number two wide receiver, it's a no-brainer, but Sidney has Favre. What do you think? Do it. Listen, I'm high on Sidney Rice this year, but Calvin Johnson, here's the thing. He's an elite wide receiver, so regardless of who's throwing him the ball, I think he's going to do damage many weeks in fantasy purposes. Matthew Stafford is throwing the ball a ton, and this is what I always say. If a quarterback's throwing the ball a ton and ends up with interceptions, yeah, it might hurt your wide receiver because those balls might be intended for him, but you don't lose points on those interceptions. If he's throwing the ball a ton, and, you know, last week I think he threw the ball, he's thrown the ball 50 times, I think. I definitely think you make that move. The thing with Sidney Rice, he's had some big games, but, you know, he's not the number one target. It's a little hit or miss. They focus on the run more. I think if you can make that trade straight up, Mike, get Calvin Johnson for Sidney Rice, definitely do it. And if you're in a keeper league, forget about it. For sure, you do it. You're just talking, you're getting a better wide receiver there. Don't worry about who's throwing the ball. So that's definitely a trade I would make, Mike. Good question, trade I'd make. This one is from John. Guys, I'm really deep at running back. My starting running backs are D'Angelo Williams and Pierre Thomas. I need to choose a running back for flex this week. Okay, not giving me any choices there, so you're putting me on the spot. Running back for a flex position. Well, I was high on Jamaal Charles last week, so I'll stick with him against Oakland. That would definitely be one that I'd pick. And listen, I was high on Darren McFadden coming into the season. I had him in a couple of my leagues, and I still have him in a couple of my leagues because I think that there's upside there. And I think this might be a week, one of the few weeks, but this might be a week if he's available. Coming back from injury, maybe you can slide him through on waivers because people don't know he's back yet. He might be an interesting guy to pick up. And then let me see if I can find one more for you here. Sort of a deeper sleeper pick. I don't know. Beanie Wells. I like Beanie Wells a lot going against Seattle. He and Tim Hightower are still splitting carries, but Beanie Wells. It's trending toward Beanie Wells. As far as who to take, there you go. I think we got one more email. Time for one more. This is from Shannon. She says, "Okay, hopefully this isn't too mixed up. Would you trade Anquan Boldin with either Rashard Mendenhall or Steven Jackson for Reggie Wayne and Brian Westbrook? I would still have Welker and Brandon Marshall at wide receiver, and Jonathan Stewart, Adai, and either of the two." The aforementioned running backs. If yes, would you keep Mendenhall or Jackson?
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Wow. Well, as you said, Sharon, it's a little Shannon. It's a little mixed up here. You'd still have Welker and Brandon Marshall, but you'd be getting Reggie Wayne. So certainly the Reggie Wayne Anquan Boldin trade off I would do. And then the Mendenhall Steve Jackson for Westbrook. I'd rather have Steven Jackson among all those. I like Rashard Mendenhall. Brian Westbrook, he's on and off. I think the best player among all those is Reggie Wayne, and you'd be getting the best player, and you'd be acquiring Brian Westbrook. You still have Jonathan Stewart, Joseph Addai. You'd still have either Mendenhall or Steve Jackson. You know, I'd probably do it. If you have the opportunity to get Reggie Wayne, I think Reggie Wayne's good enough that you make that trade. I'd probably do it. It just goes on to say, it's a point-per-reception league with return yards, starting two running backs, three wide receivers, and a flex. I'm 3-6, two games out of first, and need some sort of a boost. And oh yeah, I lost 143.06 to 143.00 two weeks ago to the current division leader. That was special. Shannon, love the sarcasm right there. I'd make the trade. Reggie Wayne would be the best player among all those. I'd make the trade. It's a good, interesting question, Shannon. And the question and the email are much appreciated. Web radio at Patriots.com. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. Boy, what a great show we had as far as emails, and we had Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com chiming in to talk about all the upcoming news and notes in fantasy football. Again, Chicago at San Francisco, about 3 hours away. Set your lineups. We got to a lot of information. Yeah, just three sets of 60 minutes away. We got to a lot of information on this game tonight. Hopefully it helped you. Bye weeks, this is it. Houston and the Giants are off this week. Then next week, week 11, we get everybody, every single team in the mix. So make sure you get us your email, get your emails in for next week. 16 games, all 32 teams. Should be exciting. So good luck in your fantasy weeks this week. Hopefully, like Jason, if you hadn't won at all until this week, you can get a win off the get a win under the belt. Appreciate Joe Dolan. Appreciate all the emailers. We'll be right back next week, 4 to 5 Eastern on Patriots.com radio for the Fantasy Lowdown.